Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, welcome to New Life Live. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve today. And I'm with Chris Williams sitting next to me, and I'm looking at a screen all the way over to Indiana, and I see Becky Brown.
Hello, everybody. Happy Friday.
Yeah, here we are. And, you know, just not long ago, we had Thanksgiving. It was pretty, like a week ago. And here we are now looking forward to the holidays, to Christmas, New Year's, and everything leading up to it. And we have some help for you if you struggle with your holiday eating. We have 10 tips for smart holiday eating. And I wanted to see which of these tips really speak to each of you guys.
I know mine.
Fire away.
Go for it. I was going to say all of them, but go for it.
Mine's number 10. Have a plan to lose weight after the holidays.
Yes.
That's mine.
Oh, that's good.
I'll do it another day.
Okay. Chris, which one of these?
I honestly think that holidays come with a lot of expectation and a lot of emotional energy, and a lot of times that emotional energy isn't always positive. And so as anxiety increases, as depression increases, it really increases our temptation to mood eat.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the perfect excuse to carb load and sugar load and sweet load and just load up. But what happens is we're neglecting some deeper needs in our life. So number 6 says, try not to rely on food to meet other needs.
Mm.
Because to meet an emotional need with food or any other sort of medicator does not solve the problem. It makes us feel better. But our emotional life is a dashboard, is a feedback mechanism to let us know how we're experiencing the world. And oftentimes, it points us back to our core needs. So if I need to connect with someone, if I need to take a nap because I'm tired, that's much better than just, again, trying to numb that out with a bunch of sugar.
But what if my need is a dish of ice cream?
We'll pray for you.
We'll pray for you.
Well,
Larry, when you cry over that bowl of ice cream, that might be a hint that something else is going on. I'm just saying, man.
Help us, Lord.
Well, the one that stuck out to me was eat only when you're hungry.
Mm.
Which is really hard when you walk by, a tray of food at a party or at the office, and there's just those things that you love, and you walk by, and it's like they're screaming your name.
Yeah,
and it's got to learn.
You know
just,
what?
Go ahead.
A good kind of path for that though is when you go to family gatherings and you see all your favorites, you just take a little bit.
Yeah.
Of each of them. And I think, I don't know about you guys, but when you see those plates loaded up, you're not going to taste all of that to begin with. So it's like, just get a little bit of stuff. And like you said, whatever that number was, if you're not hungry, don't eat. But we all know that that's a really, we're not going to. So, okay, we're losing it. I want to encourage all of you, though, who are struggling with that weight gain. We have been proud to do Lose It for Life for so many years, and it really has helped so many people. And so if you want a copy of Lose It for Life, give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll get, or you can go to newlife.com and get it from the store there. But it's really not about the food. It's really about what you're feeding, and we know that's for sure.
And you can call us at 800-NEW-LIFE and just ask them for the 10 tips for smart holiday eating, and we'll get that to you. We also have a matching gift going, and we are gaining on it, but we need more. We need more to reach the 200,000 goal. And that when we reach that goal, it just means we're going to be helping more people. We'll be able to keep this going longer and longer. And so please make a gift. Tell them you want it to be matched, and it will make a difference. And we're going to come back right after this and take some calls.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We are going to go right to the phones and let's talk to April. April's in Peoria, Illinois, and she listens on KPEQ. How can we help you, April?
Hi, I'm just like struggling with like manic depression, addiction, and just like childhood abuse. Mm-hmm. And I can't seem to like renew my mind. I can't seem to stay focused on anything positive. It just all seems negative, like life isn't even worth getting up in the morning and living.
April, have you ever had a physical injury before?
Yes.
Okay. Notice when you have that physical injury, that pain demands your attention.
Yeah.
The pain of your past is demanding your attention, and you're either going to medicate it or you're going to suffer with it. And so, have you been able to engage in any help, any therapy, any 12-step, reached out in any way?
I went to a rehab center like quite a few years back, but since then, no, and I've kind of relapsed, and the more I feel like I'm losing my flipping mind,
yeah,
you know, because I dug into the Bible maybe a little bit too fast, and then I just started seeing everything wrong with me, and then it's like I get into like where I'm trying to work to earn God's love,
yeah,
and that sucks, because I wake up feeling like a mess, I go to bed feeling like a mess, and I wake up, and it's like a yo-yo, it's like every day I'm miserable.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't see the point in life anymore, truthfully, and I've got kids.
Okay,
and
so
I don't see the point in it.
So the point, okay, so let me start here. You are the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I am fully confident in speaking for God on this one.
Mm-hmm.
You are the point. And your pain matters. Your health matters, but your shame is coming against you like an 800-pound gorilla.
Yeah, something.
Okay, and that shame was born out of a place of deep pain from your past. That's not you. That's something that got put on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the work needs to continue. Because there are children who do look to you and rely on you. And there is also mm-hmm. a God who is cheering for you and who wants you and who desires your health and who desires your freedom. Now, speaking for myself here, not anyone else, I fully anticipate at 45 years old, after over a decade of working on my own stuff, it's going to be a dogfight till the end. Till the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That my journey is not going to end this side. And I'm totally, I should say totally okay. Most days I'm okay with it, you know. But it's just this idea is that we're contend. The Bible says we contend for the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And a definition of faith that I like is a meaningful risk. We're living with meaningful risk. And so your kids are meaningful. Your life is meaningful. So we're going to risk getting back into, like, say, 90 meetings in 90 days. We're going to risk getting back into deep trauma therapy, someone who really knows what they're doing, who can help me address and work through the pain and find some emotional healing and health along the way.
I also want to ask you, April, what kind of support is around you? Or are you kind of the lone wolf?
I kind of feel alone, really. I feel like I've been so crazy lately. Like, I don't really understand fully. I kind of do and kind of don't understand what's going on with me. And due to that, I've shut everybody out of my life. I've literally pushed everybody out because I feel like my issues are going to rub off on them, and it's like I don't want to cause anybody any pain.
Well, so here's my other question is, are you working or like, are what's happening in your life?
I do work, but I'm on like light duty, but I'm stuck in a room all day by myself, so I have nothing to do but think, and I overthink everything that I do. I overthink every step that I make. Like, I know there's nothing I could do to be good enough. I know that mentally, but somewhere the rest of me isn't understanding or you know, it's not like connecting together.
Right.
So like, I feel like I'm stuck.
You said you were in a rehab facility years ago. What has been your process since then, except for doing it on your own?
Nothing but doing it on my own.
Okay. So
I try to give them up myself, you know.
So here's the thing that's great about that, April, is we know that that doesn't work. So check that one off the list. Doing it by myself doesn't work. So we're going to do the next thing, which, like Chris suggested, you could do 90 meetings in 90 days. And, you know, what we talk about with the 12 steps is that you just keep going because it works. And sometimes you go, and if you've got that bent of I've got to do it the right way, 90 meetings in 90 days you should be able to do. And with COVID, there's a lot of them that are online, so you don't have to go in person. So with kids, that might be a little bit more you know, manageable. But you have to get into a process of healing that includes other people and a structure so that you're not depending on your own thought process to move forward. And
my thoughts are just
right. And you allow other people to make the choice whether they want to be in relationship with you or not, as opposed to you pushing them away, thinking that you are going to rub off some negativity on them. You know, I just think if you can hear that part of there's potential for healing, and what a great gift that you can give to your kids as you move in this direction. That you give them hope, because you would, if they were dealing with the same stuff you're dealing with, what would you want for them?
Help.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, so you
I would like them to get better. Of
right.
course.
So you go first, April. Okay. Life is worth living, but you've got to enter into the process. I would encourage us to send her a life recovery Bible and a workbook and begin to work those processes. We can probably connect you with a life recovery group there, or maybe we have some online groups. But if not, I just want to encourage you, April. Begin today. Today's going to be the first day of a new path for your life, and you're going to find healing in that way.
April, thanks so much for calling, and I hope that what we're sending you will help, and the advice that Becky and Chris gave you will really be meaningful. Thanks so much. Let's talk to Maxwell. Maxwell's calling from Oakland, California. Listens on our app. How can we help you, Maxwell? How you doing?
I'm doing okay, Larry. Thank you. I've been married now 10 years. It's both my wife and I's second marriage. We were both married probably close to 12, 15 years the first time. We do have Kay and Mylan's book, How We Love, so we've worked through that. I'm a classic avoider. My wife's a vacillator. And she has an extremely enmeshed relationship with her daughter, 19 years old, who pretty much dictates kind of how our house runs. And so we recently had an incident, and we've been in counseling for about 12 months now, and we've worked through some of these situations and issues, but we just had another issue while the daughter was home from college, and the daughter is encouraging my wife to divorce me, that she's always miserable, she's not happy. And, you know, as a vacillator, my wife goes up and down. And then, you know, I like to just get in my car and take off because I'm an avoider. And so we just talked about the other day about how we're going to deal with this situation. And she said, well, she's always going to be here. And so either you have to deal with her or we don't have a marriage. So I'm kind of stuck. And I don't know, do I just kind of go with that, like, okay, well, we don't have a marriage because obviously you're choosing her. You're not choosing our marriage. You're choosing her. This is something we have worked through six, seven, 8 months ago, and now we're right back in that same place that took us to counseling.
I got a suggestion. Maxwell, how probable can you get all three of you in a counseling room?
Well, the counselor suggested that while we were in, and she said that she had no interest in that.
Who's she?
I mean, she has that kind.
The daughter?
The daughter. Yes.
Mm. Okay. So, this is this is a big crisis, and Maxwell, first off, really sorry you're put in this. There's what we call a lot of triangulation going on. And what that means is that, you know, in the triangle has three parts to it. There's a victim, there's a rescuer, and there's a persecutor. And so it's important to recognize that the victim is always the strongest entity in that triangle. The irony is that the victim has the most control because they're the ones who assign the roles. They assign themselves the victim, they assign somebody else the persecutor, and someone else the rescuer. And there's only three options. And so for the victim, if you're not the rescuer, then you are the persecutor. And so there is this dance of that going around between the three of you. And the roles switch based on whose perspective it is. And so somebody has to break up that triangle. Actually, it's called the Cartman Triangle. I like to call it the Bermuda Triangle of Relational Death because no survivors. Yes, no relationship comes out alive in that. And so it's just addressing that, you know, we're locked in this really tight way of thinking about this, but we need different solutions. And I think inviting the daughter into that, like what is the daughter's complaint? What is her chief protest against you or the marriage?
Well, and the counselor that we had, we've been through triangulation. We know that well.
Yes.
She started saying it up. I mean, we have this, it's drawn out. We have these charts. Ever since probably about 16 or 17, and my wife's former husband was a serial adulterer, and initially, you know, my wife kept that from the kids of why they divorced, but as they got older and continued to ask, but about 16 or 17, the daughter used to say, well, we're only in this situation because you divorced my dad.
Mm.
And so my wife carries a lot of guilt.
Yes.
So anytime that we establish a boundary, they throw that at her.
Mm.
Well, if you wouldn't have divorced my dad, we wouldn't be in this situation. And if you wouldn't have divorced my dad, you know, we wouldn't have him in our lives.
Mm.
And,
yeah.
So my wife carries that, and, you know, she has some pleasing tendencies when it comes to them. And then with us, of course, she's the vacillator, and then she devalues our relationship and me, of course, and then, you know, we just go on to what we call that crazy dance.
Yeah.
Maxwell, what is your wife's chief complaint against you then?
That I won't engage with the daughter. That I won't. I'm sorry.
Well, what's her expectation of engage? What does that even mean?
That I'm supposed to do whatever it is she wants me to do.
Mm.
Have you clarified that, or is she actually asking you to control the daughter?
No, we've clarified that.
When
we first got married, you know, we had went through premarital counseling. We had all these expectations. The kids were... I had a 15-year-old son and my mother, who's since passed on, with me. She had the two kids there, like 6 and 9, I think. And so we had all these things set up, but then, you know, it just went haywire over the years, and now we're in this place. But so we had initial expectations of how we were going to discipline and raise, but then it all changed.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go to a break here in a second. But Maxwell, the great thing is that you guys did all this foundational work, but the house isn't built yet. And so this is just another blow to that foundation that we'll have to we have to do some work to correct it. But it sounds like everybody's in reaction mode right now. Mm-hmm. And we've got to settle that down. And unfortunately, that may require some things that you don't want to do. But we'll talk about that when we get back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we are back talking with Maxwell. He's in a bit of a conundrum, and Becky's got some good parting shots for you, Max.
Yeah, parting shots. Poor yeah. Maxwell, I want to say the thing that I was saying that you might not want to do is you guys have done some really good work at establishing a strong foundation in this marriage. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes.
Yes. And you guys have worked really hard. And so now this daughter is kind of throwing a wrench in all the work that's been done, right?
Yes.
And you feel like your only choice is stay or go, right?
Well, what we talked about was working through it while we were separated. That way you can do what you want to do in your house and I can do what I want to do in mine while okay. we're working through it.
Okay, so I would disagree with that.
That's not going to work.
That's not going to work. So here's what my suggestion is, which I don't think you're going to like this, but I think you have to stand for your marriage and assure your wife that you are the faithful man that she married. She's getting triggered by all of this stuff with her daughter, and I don't know what kind of healing work she's done from her own trauma from the first marriage. But as you show her your commitment to her, eventually she's going to see that the daughter is the one that's causing the problem. I do believe that. But I know that that's hard. I'm not saying that you put up with disrespect and all that, but I want you to check your reactions. And I want you to be the person that you want to be, not the person that drives away in the car, not the person that separates. I mean, if you guys decide to separate, you're probably going to end up in divorce again because you're in a fragile state right now. So, I would suggest that the girl go with you guys to therapy, but she's not really the problem. The problem is that the marriage is stressed right now and you guys have to get on that same page, but that's my suggestion.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I do believe that, the relationship of the daughter and the mom, as you said, Maxwell, is that truth isn't being told.
Right.
The truth of their own experiences. And that puts the 19-year-old daughter in a very vulnerable, angry, and unfair situation. Mm-hmm. She needs to know the truth about her own life, including her own dad. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds harsh, but you need to stand firm on the truth. You know, we need to talk about reality here and what is the reality of what's going on. Because I'm not going to fall on the sword of an ex-husband. That's not my job, and that will help nobody.
Right.
You know.
How We Love, would that be a good book for Maxwell?
He already has that.
He has that?
Take Your Life Back.
Take Your Life Back.
Yeah.
Okay, coming your way, Maxwell. Thanks for the call. Let's talk to Bill. Bill is in D.C., listens on WAVA. And how can we help you, Bill?
Well, I was telling the screener, I have I'm 62, I have a long-standing sexual addiction. And I'm just kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm doing the right thing. I don't have TV, I don't have the internet. I only have access to the internet through my sister, but don't have TV at this point. But so I'll stay away from looking at the women doing, what I shouldn't be doing. But it's complicated by the fact that I have severe obsessive compulsive disorder, which I believe is a direct result of the addiction. I don't think I have some chemical imbalance or anything like that. I think that as I seem to stay away from things that I do seem to improve a little bit, but I always seem to go back into I seem to either like I said, we either watch TV at my sister's or something like that, and there's no nudity or anything. It's nothing like that. I haven't done anything like that, but I just looking at women, you know, channel surfing.
Okay, I think we get the picture.
Bill, what's the question for us?
I guess, how do you get to where you really want to beat this thing? I mean, I've been doing this since I was 20 years old. I might want to add that I was involved in a lot of anonymous sex.
Let me begin to answer the question for you. First and foremost, your obsession that has gotten sexualized is actually driven by a need, an unmet need in your life. You're telling me your story, and it sounds painfully lonely. It sounds like you've experienced tremendous amounts of isolation in your life. You know, God designed us as relational beings, and that is embedded in our needs, the need to connect, the need to be with people, the need to take our experiences and have it be known by somebody else. And so you're trying to do all this willpower by beating it, and the problem is the need inside of you to be in relationship with other people is not going to go away until you're in relationship with other people. And so it's going to constantly look for ways to medicate.
And we'll be able to give you a little bit more here after the break that we think can really help you get on the right track with this.
I want to ask you a question, though, before we go to the break, because we had 2 seconds. Have you had any process involved in your healing, Bill? Gone to a counselor, gone to any kind of treatment at all?
Yes, I've been to, I've been involved a little bit in this 12-step program, and I did see a sexual addiction therapist, a licensed sexual addiction therapist.
Okay, hold that thought, and we'll come right back to you right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back talking with Bill, and he's had some sexual addiction and OCD issues. And Chris or Becky, one of you wanted to say
I'll
some
let
more.
Chris go. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so Bill, I want to address also the OCD that is driven by anxiety. And I want to say it's both the chicken and the egg. You know, obviously the OCD. Obviously the OCD is a true mental illness issue that needs to be treated. That also drives the obsession towards, again, the sexual acting out. And so I want you to know that we call it comorbidity. There is oftentimes a mental illness factor that we struggle with alongside of the addiction, and both need to be treated. Mm-hmm. And so this is where medication can help you out a lot. But I would also...
I've been on every medication in the book for 30 years, and none of them have seemed to do anything, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, I greatly appreciate the honesty in that. And then the next piece is that to be in develop deep, continual, and consistent relationship with people who are also struggling with this but have journeyed the road a little bit further and a little bit more successfully.
Okay.
And but also when we're stuck in these really, really dark spots that we can't seem to get out of, we typically need something to jumpstart the process.
Mm-hmm.
A new door to walk through that helps us break out of the fog and the darkness that we're in.
I'm stuck.
Yes.
I'm stuck.
So every man's battle is the place to go.
And if you will hang on the line, we can connect you with somebody so you can get there right away. This is a recorded program. And this isn't going to be heard until it's too late to sign up for Saturday's program. But because it's before that, you can still go this Saturday to that workshop. And I don't think you should miss it another month.
Don't delay.
And if money is an issue, we don't just grant people money, but you can get a scholarship. We just need to know there's a need. Mm-hmm. So don't let money be a reason you can't go.
I've read the book.
The workshop is 100 times different and better than what you experience reading the book.
Well, the reason for that, Bill, is because it sounds like you've really tried a lot of things. Sounds like you're getting just exasperated with the efforts. Is that right?
Well, I think sometimes I'm not sure that. I wonder sometimes if I want to be well, to be honest with you.
That's a good question to ask.
Well, you wouldn't be on this phone call if you didn't want to get well.
There you go.
So it's there. You want it. You just need the right solutions.
And we can help you.
Yeah.
Right. I'm glad you called, Bill. And I know Every Man's Battle will make a difference for you.
Book?
I can never remember the name of Jason's Bible study that he has. Whatever that is, that's what we're going to send you.
I know that, too, and I can't think of it. But, yeah, we'll send that to you. Thank you so much. Let's talk to Jonathan, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Jonathan. How can we help you?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a conundrum. When my wife was about 55, she took up with a coworker who was 25, and they had unbeknownst to me, an affair for several years. And when I first found out about it, it was all, it was just platonic. They declared it as platonic and, nothing to see here. I highly suspect that it went beyond friends and a platonic relationship. But my wife would never, I don't know if you'd say repent. She thought, her idea was if it was platonic, there was nothing wrong with it. Even though it was hidden from me, for the most part, for 3 to 4 years. And, but anyway, she doesn't feel like she did anything wrong. And I feel like I'm still being lied to in terms of how far the relationship actually went. And,
so what's your question? What's your question for us?
Well, I find myself, I don't want a divorce because of kids involved, but I don't ever want them to find out about this. But
Jonathan, Jonathan, how long have you guys been married?
Over 30 years.
Mm-hmm. And so, were there ever any other areas of your marriage where you guys couldn't have difficult conversations?
I think the conversations we had were surface conversations. There were issues probably like there is in over 90% of marriages, but I would say over the last few years, before and during the affair,
Jonathan, how what is the signs or evidence that there was an affair going on?
Well, when I first became aware, it was described, my wife was supposed to go out with a group from work, and she came home and said, well, it was just me and a guy named Christopher that showed up. And I thought, well, that can happen. So I didn't even give it a second thought. And then later on, I became aware that this is like 2-3 years later.
That this was an ongoing pattern, or this was happening over and over again? So there's hiding, and there's deception, and there is secrecy in the marriage around relationship with other men. That's a betrayal. Like, right. Let's just call it for what it is. So let's just kind of baseline it there.
And it doesn't matter if it ever became sexual.
Yeah.
It's something that wasn't part of your marriage. I just to cut to the quick, I would say you're going to have help with a difficult conversation, because you guys haven't had that kind of pattern in your life, and now you're in this stalemate where she's like, I'm not talking about it, you need to quit asking about it, and let's just ride off into the sunset. And you're just gritting your teeth, and you want more from your relationship with your wife, which is important. I mean, you want honesty, you want trust, and all those things. So I want to encourage you, and we can connect you with a counselor in your area, but I would send How We Love. I think the hard part is discovering how to have those really difficult conversations. But I would say, Jonathan, since you guys haven't done it to this point, you're going to need help getting through this, healing, and moving forward.
You're thinking help in terms of a counselor that they would go see to get
help. Yes.
And Jonathan, I just want to encourage you that this is going to require hard work on your part, but I want you to be honest to your pain and your fears. She needs to hear that. Now, whether she accepts it or receives it well, because it could trigger her shame, it could trigger her embarrassment and all the things, of course it can.
Right.
But it actually gives you strength. It doesn't take away your strength. Like, this is unacceptable behavior. I don't care if they were in bed or not. It violates a boundary that keeps our marriage safe.
Right.
And if we're not transparent, it continues to be hurtful and harmful to me. And the only way through this is in it, actually address it.
And to find out, Jonathan, what she needs. Because if she's going outside of the relationship, there's some wall that she's built up with you. And, I mean, I'm not saying that it's your fault at all. That do not hear that. But I'm saying whenever there's an issue in the marriage like another person, the other person isn't the problem. There's a disconnect within the relationship. And we got to figure out where the disconnect occurred and how to reconnect in honesty and in trust and in a healthy way. And I think there's hope here. I just think that you're going to have to do some work with a counselor as you go forward.
Thank you so much for calling, Jonathan. Yeah. What book are we going to send, Jonathan? How We Love?
How We Love.
Okay, How We Love is coming to you. I can't believe we're talking about February already, but our workshops after tomorrow are basically over for this year, and we've got Intimacy and Marriage coming on in February, and we have Restore, Hope for a Woman's Heart in February. The 13th is Intimacy and Marriage, 27th is Restore, and these are workshops that will change your marriage, change your outlook on life, and heal your hearts. So call us and find out about those. And when we come back, we'll take another call.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We are here. We is Larry Sonnenberg, and I'm sitting in with for Steve and Chris. And Becky are on, and we're going to take another call. So let's take a call from, well, I can't take that call. She's still.
Let's go to Elton.
Okay, we're going to have to go to Elton. Yes, let's go to Elton. He's on line 5. Elton, how can we help you today? Listens from Boyertown in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay. What I was going after was we just switched churches about beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to learn to connect with people
well
in a healthy way.
Okay. So, you know, Helton, you picked a good year to switch churches because you can't go, right? I mean, have you been able to go to church this year?
Yes, we have been, but it's hard to connect since everything is more or less limited.
Right, with masks and everything, yeah.
What's made it hard in the past to connect?
Well, actually, that pretty much, I see that mainly goes back to my childhood experience.
Which was?
It was actually my parents pretty much always had where their relationship was good at all, quite a bit of friction. And, of course, what happens when the children can't get along. And I was also classed on the black sheep and not a normal person.
Mm-hmm. So Elton, there's something that you believe about yourself. You know, maybe always kind of feeling lesser than, or that, like, if people really got to know you, what are you afraid they're going to think of you? Does that make sense?
I think my main thing is afraid to open up. That I might get hurt.
Yeah.
Because I had so many hurtful experiences.
That makes perfect sense. See, we live in these bodies that adapt to our life experiences. And they create these really strong beliefs in us. For instance, relationship is painful. And so we need connection. We need to be with people. But there's a part of us, a deep part of us, that says, well, if I do it, it becomes painful. So we're always doing these weird negotiations in our head of, like, can I say this? Can I not say this? Or what is that person doing? So we get into this really what we call hypervigilant or and take your life back. We talk about reactivity. And so we're constantly living on our heels wondering, is this person going to like me or is this person going to hurt me?
It's also a sense of loss of control.
It's way out of control. That's really good, Larry. Yeah. And so, but really, here's the irony. It's not about what other people believe about us. It's about what we believe about ourselves where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
Am I worthy to be connected to? Can I recognize what is safe in other people and safe in me? And then begin to build trust around that which is safe. And that's a slow process. It takes time.
And I think, too, Elton, that if you recognize or if you realize how much other people want to connect and they feel the same way you do.
That's
that
good.
There are so many people who really, we all long to be connected to other people. We also all have those kind of, you know, hesitancies or those anxieties of how am I going to be received? How am I, is this going to be a safe relationship? And couple that with any kind of childhood trauma that you just described. So the goal in trying to connect in healthy ways in a church or in a community of any kind is you go slow and go small. Mm-hmm. So you have smaller groups of people, you know, especially if you're in a large group of people, and a large group is like 25. That's a lot of people. You're not going to connect with 25 people. So the you got to lower that average to, can I find two or three people that have similar interests that I do? And if you're going to church, you guys all have the same interest in church and mm-hmm. you're growing your faith, so maybe you join a Bible study and you just, you know, you start small and you stay consistent. I'm kind of curious why you left the last church, if there was an issue that happened that you moved to this church, but we don't really have time to go into that today. But I just, that would be what I would encourage you to do, Elton.
Yeah, and alongside that, Becky, I think one of the things that really helps us is being able to tell our story and hear other people's story.
Right.
And so as we get to know, again, obviously not on the quote-unquote first date,
right.
But as we get to know, as we start being inquisitive, we be curious about other people. And oftentimes that will draw, not all the time, but a reciprocal curiosity about our story. And so the more that we're able to tell our story and hear from others, there is that connecting piece to it, and it be, and the relationships become safer and more trusting.
Helen, are you married or single?
Married for 14 years and got 5 kids.
Okay.
Wow. Awesome.
Okay, so
that can be some impediment to connecting too. You're in the middle of a really busy time of life. But there are other parents that you can connect with. I mean, there's all different kinds of ways to do it, but just to have the confidence to know that other people want to connect. You want to connect, other people want to connect. We just got to find where those two meet. I would love for you to be able to go to the Brains, Boundaries, Battles in the Bible workshop this tomorrow, but I know it's probably too late, but I don't know. We'll see if we can connect you with somebody else.
That'd be a great, great suggestion.
Ellen, we're going to send a book, Safe People, to you.
Great.
And that's a great book that will help you just learn how to know when people are safe and how to find them and how to start relating to them. So I hope you find that helpful. Well, Chris, do you have a Bible verse that you might begin to close this show out with us?
I do, and it's a little bit lengthy because I have a little explanation, but you guys, we've heard that now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his work that is within us.
Ephesians 3:20,
exactly. So this verse is often tied to external circumstances, like my car broke down, and Jesus is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine. However, it's really important. This verse is in a prayer that Paul is giving, and Paul is speaking 100% to our internal world. Mm. He's talking about that we kneel before the Father, who we draw his name from. We come from God. We come from the Creator. He says, I pray out of his glorious riches that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. How much strength do I need in my inner being today? A lot. So that Christ will dwell in your hearts through faith, and praying that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this is knowledge that this is a love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the fullness of God. So friends, today, the immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine is that the eternal, abundant love of God is accessible to us, and the fulfillment of God can be measured in its fullness within us. Mm-hmm. It's an internal job. And if we think about what we're struggling with, and we think about our challenges, and we think about our broken hearts and our malfunctioning minds, that God's desire is to know that his love and his power will heal us and fulfill us. This is the immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine.
And it's available to us. Thank you. I love that. You know, Ephesians is a prayer book. Mm-hmm. Go look at that. That's a verse, Chris, that I have read every month at Every Man's Battle for probably 10 years. Mm. And so I just love that. Thank you for being with us. We're going to be back here on Monday, and we hope that you'll be right here with us. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.